Hey guys, we've reached episode number 44 on Personalities at Carey, and today we are talking with our very own Amy Pironi. We all know very well that Amy is a math major, and at this point, she's concentrating in marketing and business analytics. Amy interned at American Express right here in Phoenix over summer of 2018. Now let's get right into our conversation with Amy Pironi. Hello and welcome everyone. This is episode 44 of Personalities at Carey, and we are here today with Amy Pironi. Pironi.
Close
enough. Yeah, I'm getting all the last names over time. I've never called anyone with their last name.
So,
Amy, when you get started with telling us about your background, where you come from, what you've done before WPC, and what brought you to WPC.
Cool. So my undergrad is in pure math here from Arizona State. I also minored in economics. And my journey to that path was kind of wandering. I actually started my undergrad at a community college thinking that I wanted to major in business because I was actually 16 and I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I was like, business is a great catch-all. Let's do that. And I took an accounting class and I was like, this is not for me. And at the same time, I was taking a calc class with a professor who was just like totally reinventing my notion of mathematics. And it was like, this is fun. We spent a lot of time at the whiteboards doing problems. So I was like, I'm just going to go with math. And I never looked back. But I never really thought about what kind of career I'd want with a degree in math. So actually all through undergrad, because of that calc professor that I was just talking about, I ended up working on this grant project that trained middle school math teachers how to teach and think about math differently. So I worked on that all through undergrad. And then after I graduated, started working there full time, kind of as a project administrator. And I loved that. I loved the people that I worked with. And kind of in that administrative role, started having some exposure to the business side of running a, it was a $9 million grant from the National Science Foundation. So at that point, I started thinking, I always knew I wanted to go back to grad school. It was just a matter of when and for what. And at that point, I was thinking, you know, I love this project. I love these people. I love the idea of helping people learn. And so I was like, I'll go the math professor route. And I was on that track. But there was always this small part of me that was like, all through your college career, you're in the education space. And I'm like, there's a whole other world out there that I want to explore, you know? Maybe I'd have fun in small business or doing analytics. So I started thinking about consulting because consulting is really problem solving, you know, just in a different sense than I had been used to with math. So I started looking into programs and found out about the scholarship here at ASU and WP Carey. And I have to say, as an undergrad here, I always kind of heralded WP Carey as like the like prestigious school on this campus, and always felt like I wanted to be part of that community. So I came down here, started having some informal meetings with advisors to see kind of about the program, and I was fourth round, ended up applying like really last minute, and found out, still remember the day I found out, got the call from Rebecca. And I was super, super excited, and I had no regrets at all. I think this has been, you know, it's kind of a deviation from the path that I had thought I was going to be on with the math professor route. But like I said, I was like, I just want to explore something new. And I wasn't sure that I had the real, like, deep passion for teaching that would be required to, like, really do a good job as a professor. And I think that, you know, we've all had ones that are phenomenal and others who are like not as invested in it, and it really makes a difference. And so if I was going to be a professor, like, I'd want to give it everything, and I wasn't sure that I had that. So here I am with almost done with an MBA, and it's been a blast, like I said, and no regrets. I think this has been a great journey for me.
So were you in your undergrad while they were building the McCord building?
Yeah.
Okay, so you saw how it works.
Yes, there's been a lot of changes on this campus, I think, that have been really nice since I was here.
So I don't know if you know, I was also on campus. I have another degree from ASU.
You do?
Yeah. So no. When I was here, this was about like 8 to 10 years ago.
Okay.
And there used to be tennis fields.
Yep.
While just next to SDFC.
Yeah.
SRC, we called it back then.
That's crazy. Yeah. What's your other degree in?
I have a master's in technology.
What?
Yep.
Respect.
Yeah. And so you just decided on the one school. You didn't apply anywhere else?
I didn't apply anywhere else. That was mostly because of location. I wanted to stay here. And then the scholarship factor was huge. Not going to lie.
So how has your experience been so far? It's been a year and a half, more than that. Yeah. Sometime.
You know, I'm sad that it's coming to an end, honestly. It's gone by so fast. And if I look back on it, I think the word that's top of mind for me is fun. Like, if people in undergrad ask me, like, should I go to grad school? I'm like, yes. Grad school is so much fun because I still remember, like, during orientation and, you know, at the beginning of the program, just being, like, blown away by my classmates. And I've continued to feel that way. I think it's a new experience when you're in grad school for the most part. Like, people are really motivated here. And just being around an environment where people are pursuing their dreams and, like, are ambitious and got drive, I think that's very inspiring. So, yeah, I've really loved it. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm sad that it's coming to an end. Like, let's go for round three. Everyone go for their PhDs, and we'll stick together.
Oh, my God. Five-year program?
Yeah.
Sure. So you've been one of the lucky people who've got family very close to the school. So how's that been? Are there any pros and cons to having family nearby?
Ooh, that's an interesting question. It's definitely been nice for me because I think, you know, we spend a ton of time here in McCord and with each other. And I think for some people who don't have that external community, sometimes you're like, ah, I gotta, you know, kind of get a come up for fresh air with a new group sometimes. I don't know. So I think having family here has been a nice support and diversion at times, you know?
Okay. And you came in with probably some idea of what concentrations you were going to do. Have you stuck to it? What are those concentrations?
Did not have an idea. In fact, ooh, you want to know something real?
Sure.
I almost dropped out of the program during orientation.
Why is that?
Because I remember sitting in some of those meetings where it's like, you know, identify your top five companies. And I just remember feeling like I had to turn into somebody that I wasn't. Because I've never been like this crazy, ambitious, career-oriented person. I'm like, I just want to be happy and, you know, make a good enough living and have fun with what I do. I don't have to be like crazy high up or anything. And for some reason, I remember feeling like I was going to have to turn into that person. And so I was like, maybe I'm not supposed to be here. Like, I don't know my top five companies. You know, at that point, I hadn't done a ton of research as far as like career paths. I was just like, I know grad school is the next step. And, you know, at the time I had been thinking a little bit about consulting, but I honestly didn't know a ton about it. So I came in thinking, you know, I got time, I'm going to be exposed to these different courses and it'll help me kind of shape my direction. I do remember thinking supply chain appealed to me at first just because of the math background and there's a lot of quant involved in that. But it was really the marketing classes in Q2, I guess that was. Mm-hmm. And there was so much like human psychology involved in marketing. And I think the way Andrea taught it totally caught my attention. So I was like, you know, I'm going to go with that. And I started to learn more about the consulting kind of career path and it's, you know, tons of travel and working long hours. And I'm like, I don't know, that's kind of the lifestyle that I want. But so, yeah, I'm totally evolved. So now I'm marketing and business analytics. And I have to say, I love BA because I think in those classes, you really walk away with new tools in your tool belt. You know, I've learned SQL. It's a hard skill that I can say I can do now. And I'm learning Python this quarter, which has been so much fun. Like, maybe I'll go get a master's in CS now. Just turn into a code monkey. No, I think my soul would die a little bit if I took that. But yeah, I think BA has been super valuable, no matter kind of what functional area you go into. I think even if you're not the person writing the scripts, you know, or pulling the data, it's helpful to know what those people are doing, you know, so you can at least engage with them at some level. But I hope myself to be on an analytics team.
Okay. So we are really glad that you didn't drop out. You're still with us.
Thanks.
Yep. And of the courses that you've taken so far, do you want to tell us which one is your favorite?
Yes, that's easy. Decision modeling.
Yeah, that's an easy one. Everyone who's taken it loves it.
515 with Byers was so much fun. I love the way he structures that class. You know, there's just problems that were given out and you get time in class to work on them. And then it's like, oh, we're going to hit a brick wall and let's come together. Let's think about some new concept that we can develop. And then, you know, you get the chance to apply that. And we just lived in Excel, which is fun. I feel like I'm so much better in Excel. But a close runner-up would have to be macroeconomics, 503, I think, with Bart. Can't remember how to say his last name.
Origin something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Something with an H. Yeah. I also love that class because he really emphasized holistic learning. It was not just about the, you know, macroeconomic principles that we can learn about and study about, but it's about, you know, developing you as a leader and as a communicator. And there were so many helpful tips and hints and ways of thinking that were developed in there about how to communicate ideas with people. Like talking titles, never going to forget that. When you have got a chart or something in a report, you know, put the bottom line up top. So super, super valuable class.
So it's something that helps you outside of just economics. It's
yeah, exactly. Okay. A lot of transferable skills, mm-hmm. as they say, I think were developed in there.
And anything outside of the curriculum that stood out to you in the school, the career services, clubs, anything else?
I think I have to say the career services team, I worked with Sandy a lot. I think what I get from them, especially Sandy, is just like genuine care. You know, she's like excited to hear what's happening and your job search, and so she's been very supportive. And yeah, I think again, going back to orientation, I wasn't just blown away by the students, but I remember Christine and Joaquin and John in the beginning, you know, speaking to us in orientation. I was like, these people are really committed to us, and I think that really stood out to me and has continued to, you know, Christine coming in classes in the morning. And they don't have to do that, you know, but I think it helps build the culture.
Mm-hmm. Your internship experience, how has that been? How was the way to find the internship, and then maybe at the internship, what did you end up doing, your role, etc.?
Yeah. So I spent the summer at American Express, who has a huge presence here in Phoenix, actually multiple campuses. The one I was at had about 3,000 people. As far as finding that, I was a total late bloomer in my internship search. And part of that was because I didn't decide on my concentrations till later. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, how am I supposed to sell myself in an interview when I can't articulate even for myself what my ultimate goals are? So I was a little bit of a late bloomer there. So Amex did an info session here on campus, and I went to that. And I actually hadn't even applied to the job, but they had gotten resume books and had sent out interview invites, and I was like, I was actually thinking about doing an internship. They had a marketing one that was based in New York City, and that's what I really wanted. Crazy story, but I missed the deadline on that. Ooh. And it was like one of those moments where you have this like pit in your stomach. So then there was the opportunity here in Phoenix, and I just kind of jumped on that with the interview invite that I got, and it went well. I got the offer and was super excited about that because I do really respect Amex as a company, and decided to move forward with that. So the process ended up being maybe a little bit unconventional, not super difficult. They do have a good presence here. And I know from talking with leaders over the summer that they're really trying to strengthen the relationship between ASU and other schools in Arizona and the internship program here. It's super robust in New York, and they recruit from a lot of, you know, highly ranked schools. But mm-hmm. for here, they're really kind of getting that program on its feet, really. So for those who have listened to Jason Barbas's interview, I was basically doing the same thing. So I was a digital product owner or product manager. And so we worked with a couple of other business people on the team, and we had a massive kind of development scrum team that we worked hand in hand with through Agile. And so I had the opportunity to work with a couple of international markets. India is a huge one. Amex is a huge presence in India, the UK, and France. And just did some development on our product, which is called SafeKey. It's like Amex's authentication when people buy stuff online to authenticate that you are who you say you are. Just like Duo Mobile, it's like two-factor authentication when we sign into my ASU. Right. It's like that same idea. So it's essentially like a set of screens, and we have the ability to communicate different messages to customers. So I was working on developing some communications for those different markets. Overall, I loved it. Culture at Amex was very conducive to me. It was kind of like laid back, but at the same time, you're just surrounded by a lot of really smart people who like to work together, and that's a huge thing for me. Even the like the physical layout of the space, you know, it's open seating, so they just have rows of tables and chairs and these huge whiteboards everywhere, and you can, I mean, there's kind of like unspoken assigned seating, like this is where I always sit, kind of like how it gets to be in class sometimes. But I think that even setup allows people to collaborate and get up and work together and talk to each other. So for those who don't know, I'm slightly obsessed with logic puzzles.
Okay.
And casually one day on the way to a meeting, I told one of those to one of my coworkers, and it kind of blew up. Like everybody got involved and was interested. And so what ended up happening is like almost every day I'd put a new problem on the whiteboard, the huge whiteboard in our space. And it got to a point where people from other buildings would like come by and see what the problem of the day was. So it was super fun because people were interested in it, and it was a way to like kind of bring people together and get to know a lot of people, even from different teams and stuff. So that was a blast.
So when do you give out the answers to the problem?
I never give out the answers. That's like a cardinal sin to me, because I'm like, if I tell you the answer, I rob you of your chance to figure it out. But I always like have conversations with people.
Okay. So if somebody's figured it out, you tell them that you figured it out.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So so they would have sleepless nights. I never put up problems that I hadn't already solved.
Okay.
So I put it up and then like watch people think through it and be like, oh my gosh, I figured it out. And then we'd have a conversation about it and so forth. So it was super fun.
So are you going back to Amex?
I am.
Nice. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm excited.
And apart from that, I'm just going to ask you a few questions just to get to know you at the personal level.
Okay.
What are your hobbies when you have leisure time? What do you do?
That's easy. Probably people know this already, but I love to sing and play the piano. Whenever I'm at home and I need a break, I'm like almost 100% guaranteed I will be sitting at the piano, which might get annoying to my household because I play the same things over and over sometimes. But I have a hard time even saying that's a hobby, because I feel like singing and music making is part of who I am. It's like a total outlet for me. So apart from that, I also like to bake. I haven't done a ton of it since being in this program, but I've got a sweet tooth. I love making cupcakes and cheesecakes and bagels even, which are kind of cool to make. So yeah, I think those are the two biggies.
How do you put a hole in the bagel? Is it just a ring that goes in? I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is. But the interesting thing is that you boil them.
Oh.
You boil them in water and they like float up to the top.
Got it. I didn't know that.
And then you bake them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have a favorite movie?
Oh, man. I haven't seen a ton of movies, and people who know me super well always make fun of me for that. Like, oh, the 10 movies Amy's ever seen. It's not that extreme, but... I like Remember the Titans a lot. I think that's a great storyline and really good acting. I actually really like action films like Liam Neeson.
The Taken films.
Like Taken, yeah. Mistake number one, I watched that by myself in a hotel room at a conference once, and I was like totally scared. But it's a good movie.
So if you don't watch movies, do you watch TV shows at all?
Not a ton. I really don't spend a ton of time in front of the screen. If I do watch TV, it'll either be Shark Tank, the Food Network, or that's about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I love the Food Network. There's again, with the baking hobby, you know, you get a lot of inspiration from people on those shows.
Any specific show on Food Network that you like, or a host or something?
I like Chopped a lot. Mm-hmm. I can't cook, that's the thing. Like, I have so much respect for cooks who don't have to follow a recipe. They're just like, oh, I know these flavor profiles go together, and they can put things together super fast. So I like watching Chopped. They get like their mystery basket of ingredients, and I have to figure out what to do with them. But as far as something that I can actually take tips and tricks from, I like Cupcake Wars. Mm-hmm. I used to watch Cake Boss a lot, which I don't think is on the Food Network. It used to be on TLC or something. So I like Buddy. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of cool cake decorating. It's very verbose Italian family. It's really fun.
A lot of cool shows on YouTube that are, like, there's one with Bon Appetit, which mm-hmm. probably is like they recreate the gourmet versions of Oreos and Kit Kat and all that stuff. So it's a lot of fun just watching them figure things out.
Yeah.
Anyway. So you're a great music fan, I believe.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite genre of music? You have favorite artists?
Definitely gospel music. Mm-hmm. Sometimes some of the gospel style gets really repetitive. I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, next thing. But I think what I love about it is it's super spontaneous. I actually sing in ASU's gospel choir. Nice. And that's how it is there too. Like, you know, you don't have this set of sheet music and you just sing it verbatim. It's like, okay, you got to watch the director mm-hmm. because he could in the moment be like, we're going to repeat this, or we're going to totally reinvent this part of the song. And you just have to like be ready to, mm-hmm. to go with that. So, and I don't know. I think I've sung my whole life in different settings, and I love the ability to just be able to say, hey, I want to repeat that verse again, or I want to, you know, whatever you feel in the moment, you have the liberty to do. And that's definitely how gospel is. And there's just some crazy powerhouse vocalists in the gospel community, like Tasha Cobbs, Vashon Mitchell. Like, there's just... And like, I'm super impressed by vocal control, like, lots of riffs and, like, just going all over the place and demonstrating that kind of control. And there's a lot of that, I think, in gospel music. So
do you have formal training, or is it something you just learned on your own?
I think I would probably say, like, I had, like, a natural born inclination toward it. I remember singing when I was just, like, teeny tiny. But I did take some voice lessons in high school, and I just started doing a few this semester, actually, here on campus. But next semester, my goal is to be super, like, regular with that. Scheduling's been a little hard, but you know, it's one of those things where you might think you either can sing or you can't, mm-hmm. but it's not that way. Like, you can really train your voice, and I'm learning so many new things now that I didn't know, and I'm like, I think I could be a lot better singer than I am, and that excites me a lot. Because
I've heard some people, I've had roommates who think they're singing well, but they have their headphones on, but they're not in rhythm, they don't have the beat, nothing.
Yeah, that happens too.
Yeah, I don't know if those guys can be trained at all.
Yeah. The thing is, so in gospel choir, I won't name any names, but you don't have to audition, because that's part of the culture and community. It's like, we welcome everyone to just be part of us. So we have got a couple in there who I think might be tone deaf, which means like you can't match pitch, right? So we're having a little bit of difficulty with that, because if they sing loudly, then everyone can hear that. Mm. But yeah, so yeah, maybe there's some cases where it's a little hard to tune people up.
So have you ever deviated from gospel music, tried other genres to sing?
sort of a little bit, like not formally, but like singing in my car. Mm-hmm. Don't judge, but country music, it's got great harmonies, which I love harmony, like Rascal Flatts. I love their sound. So I'll sing along to that sometimes. A little bit of pop. Tori Kelly is also madly skilled. And some of like the more classic vocalists, like Josh Groban or Celine mm-hmm. Dion, I respect them a lot as well.
Okay. How about reading? Do you like to read books? Do you have a favorite? Something you want to recommend people to read?
I wish I could say I am a big reader, because I think people who are well-read just have a very robust knowledge of the world. that's how I see it. But I have the hardest time finishing any book that's not a story. Mm-hmm. So something that's just like informational or a history book, I have a really hard time finishing. It's got to have a plot. It's got to have characters. Somebody actually gave me the book The Goal, which used to be required curriculum in supply chain, before I even got to this program or before I even thought I was going to do business. And I loved that book.
Because it has a plot.
It has a plot. There's characters. You know, we've got Herbie in there. And I can't remember the other names. But so I really enjoyed that. So it was informative, but also entertaining. I do read the Bible a fair amount. People probably know I'm a Christian, and I think there's just so much to be learned, and like that just feeds me spiritually to read that. And it's a big book, and there's a lot of things in there, but if anybody wanted to, if was just curious, like, oh, I've never read the Bible. So it's broken into two testaments. There's the Old Testament, New Testament. And then the first part of the New Testament are the Gospels that tell the story of when Jesus was on earth. And so there's four different accounts from four different people. Mm-hmm. And I think my favorite of that is the Book of John. So if anybody was just like, oh, I'm curious a little bit and don't want to read the whole thing, I would recommend the Book of John.
I've kind of read like the children's Bible, which has pictures and everything.
Yeah.
It makes it easy for us.
That's so true. I grew up on kids' versions of the Bible.
Mm-hmm. So this question is like, favorite person in history you would like to have coffee with, just to get to know them better? Oh, anyone gosh. You want to choose?
That's so hard. I think probably because of my faith, I would probably pick somebody from the Bible, like the Apostle Paul. Mm-hmm. He wrote a large portion of the New Testament, and was just like there at the beginning of the early churches, like thousands of years ago. And I'm just curious to learn more about, like, what the climate was like and, like, what... There's a lot of his own story that's in the Bible, but I think it would be cool to sit down and, like, hear more intimately even some of the battles that he might have had internally. So I think that's something that a lot of people go through kind of in a religious setting, is there's a lot of kind of internal conflict and... So I'm curious what that was like for him.
So would this be before he wrote the Bible or after?
Ooh, let's go with before.
Okay. So nobody else knows the story?
No one else.
You know? Yeah. Just because you've talked to him. Okay.
Guys, I can't wake up.
That's a lot of pressure to keep a secret till he finishes writing the book. Anyway, do you have any pet peeves?
I've been asked this question so many times. I still remember the first time I did an icebreaker in my high school health class, and this was one of the questions. And I did not have a good answer. And I still don't. They're like little things, like leaving the toilet seat up is a pet peeve. Or maybe people coming late to class, which I'm guilty of myself.
I think it happens once or twice, but then once you know your routine, you should be able to come in.
I know.
Yeah.
See, man, I've got the 7:20 a.m. class. It's just killing me. Because I live in North Scottsdale. Like, I've got to leave at like 6:30 if I want a Starbucks, which I normally do, to get here on time. And I'm not a morning person.
Right.
I still sound groggy now, and it's like 11 o'clock.
I'm sure they're changing it for that reason. They're making it 8 a.m. from the next
week. Oh, they are? Yeah. Oh, thank God.
That's what I heard, I think. At least the core classes are, so...
Okay, that's good.
Anything else on pet peeves?
Okay, here's one thing. When people speak, like a lot of... Well, I don't know if I'd say this is a pet peeve, but it's something that I notice sometimes, a lot of filler words, like or like.
Is that just in general, or when they're presenting?
Mostly presenting.
Yeah. Because in general, it's like they're not thinking through the whole sentence.
Oh, yeah, that's totally true. It's more in the presenting context.
Yeah.
Because I know I use a lot of filler words when I'm just thinking aloud, you know?
Yeah. So we know that you're going to go back to Amex, but do Do you know what else you want to do after graduation over the next 10 years, maybe? But you want to see yourself
career-wise?
Career-wise.
Yeah, so when I was at Amex, I learned that they had an insights team. And that was, like, totally new to me. And that's actually within their GABM organization, which is Global Advertising and Brand Management. And brand management has been really interesting to me. I've taken a class in it this quarter, which also has been really, really good. So the insights team kind of supports them from a brand, like, as a kind of analytics support from a brand management side. And so ultimately, I would love to see myself in a team like that. And I met with a ton of people who work in insights, and they're like, yeah, we don't want to crush your dreams, but most people here have backgrounds in agencies, marketing agencies. But there is sort of a path to penetrate that space, and that's definitely developing your portfolio as an analytics person, as an analyst. So I could, you know, see myself ending up in a space like that eventually after I kind of build up the resume a little bit.
Okay, so you told me that in the beginning you didn't have a lot of companies narrowed down to.
Mm-hmm.
After a year and a half, I know you're going to Amex. Do you have other companies maybe that you want to target in the future?
I think P&G could be really interesting because I did learn from my research on insights that P&G has a very robust insights team. So yeah, like consumer packaged goods, I think that space could be really fun. This is also sort of random, but I was a barista at Starbucks for a little while and I had a ton of fun with that. So I think being on the corporate side of that company could be fun. I don't care that much, honestly. I'm like, as long as the cultural fit is good and compatible and I'm able to work with people that, you know, I really respect, then I think I'm a pretty happy camper. Don't have a ton of criteria.
Okay. So I'm kind of going to retire the question of advice to first years because I think they've got enough advice and they're through their second quarter, so they know it.
Yeah.
But if you have something above and beyond of what we normally tell them, just get through it. You can go ahead and tell them.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I would just say have fun with it. Like mm-hmm. I said at the beginning, the word that's top of mind for this whole experience for me has been fun. And it's easy to get bogged down with the stress, but just enjoy the moment, you know, prioritize, do the best you can, but just love on the people around you and take advantage of this time.
Nice. Short and sweet. That's it. And how would you like your peers to remember you?
So I think there's kind of a two-pronged answer to this. You can answer it as a fellow MBA, and I would hope people see me as a responsible, value-adding teammate. I will say that coming in, I was on the very short end of the work experience. I had only about not even 2 full years of full-time work experience. And I think, you know, I look around at some of the peers who have been in industry for a while, and they have so many contributions from a business perspective that I just wasn't able to bring to the table. But I do, you know, I love math, and I love being thorough in the work that we do. So I think I've at least brought some of that more like academic skill set to the table. At least I would hope people see me that way. But the other prong to that question, I think, is just as a fellow human being, not in the context of business or the program. And I hope that people would remember me as somebody with a lot of depth and genuineness and like somebody who could look you in the eye and be willing to have a conversation about, you know, what's going on in your life or what's going on internally. Because, I don't know, I'm a believer that it's really easy to kind of just be nice and kind and, hey, how's it going? And kind of operate on the superficial level to a certain extent. And I think every person has a whole world that's going on that may or may not be seen, you know, to other people. And sometimes you just need somebody to talk to about that, so.
Yeah, we've not had a lot of time to just sit and talk to people. It's been very busy, but
yeah.
I think this is one thing I'm doing, just to be able to talk to people again.
I love that you're doing this.
Thanks.
It's awesome.
And if you want to just take a couple of minutes to tell people what you're excited about in the next quarter or what anything you're organizing for the people to come join you?
The people come join me. A couple things. Always put a plug in for gospel choir. I will be part of that next semester again. And Jonathan, who's in the first year class, is also part of that. Maybe we can get some more singers. We've got more singers in here. Come join us. The spring semester is always super fun. We have multiple concerts throughout the semester at different locations. So even if you don't want to sing with us, you can come hear us. Also, Tuesday nights here in the MU, I'm part of a Bible study group that I just found out about this semester. It's been super awesome. A mix of college students. There's a campus minister who leads it, and then just people from like the community or young working professionals come out. So that's been really cool. Tuesday nights around 6:30 in the MU. So if anybody wants to join, we're open arms.
And how should people get in touch with you?
Let's say email. I'm like hardly ever on LinkedIn anymore. I'm like, I got the job.
You got
we're
job.
Good.
You got.
We're okay. Good. In fact, I should probably sign into that. But email, yeah, just Amy, A-M-I-E dot Peroni, P-I-E-R-O-N-E-N-A-S-E.edu.
All right, any social media?
Oh, I'm on Facebook.
Facebook, Instagram. All right. So thank you, Amy, for doing this.
Yeah.
And good luck to you.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
It's always good to have someone as sincere and hardworking as Amy is. Amy, keep up the good work. And for those who get a chance to listen to her sing, consider yourselves lucky. Thank you to our listeners who keep up with us on the various podcast platforms that we are available on. I hope everyone is enjoying their winter break so far. I will see you in the next one. Goodbye and peace.